But we are continuing our study today of the Gospel of Matthew. And last week we started chapter 3, where we began the process of looking at the ministry and the message of John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist is a very prolific figure, a very significant kind of biblical happening of this crazy wild man in the desert giving this message that is to prepare the way for the public ministry of Jesus. And so last week we looked at John's message, his message being repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's a big statement to lead with for John. Basically, what he's putting out there is to say that the primary way we prepare for the gospel, for the coming of the Savior, is to repent. To turn. To get ready to receive God. It's a countercultural message for us today, isn't it? If we think about it, we look at John the Baptist's message. Ian, I think it's happening again. Ian, on Tuesday night at our men's group, I had a bit of an episode.
A little bit, you did, yeah.
We were talking together, and I lost the ability to speak clearly. And so I feel like that might be happening again this morning. So I feel it a bit again in my neck, but could we just have a moment? Could Ian just pray for me? And you pray for me? And we'll discern this morning together.
Lord, we just lift up Ryan. God, we just pray that you would touch him, that you would heal him, that you would clear his mind, that you would make him well. Lord, we just pray you would impart your Holy Spirit.
If it gets worse, so I went to my doctor, and so he checked me out. He thought it might be just migraines, but if it gets worse today and I start getting all funny, we might, somebody's going to have to take over for me. Is that okay? Sorry, I apologize. I'm going to get a bit more comfortable. I've been... As I prayed this morning about this, just trying to discern through my week, what's happening? As you know, my 5 kids aren't here this morning. They're all sick. And so for the last couple of months, there's been a lot of kind of attack and sickness over our home, which isn't normal for us. And so even this last week, Jackie and I have been praying a lot to just say, what's going on? Is there just a lot of kind of resistance? And so I would just ask that you would keep us especially in prayer. I don't normally ask for that, but just feel like there's a lot seems to be going on attacking our home and our family. I think it centers around how good the gospel is. And so here's the message that we're looking at today from John the Baptist. Is this whole message is repent and confess your sins to receive the Savior. Now, in our day and age, the idea of repent and confess your sins, who comes here today going, I would love to do that publicly? Anyone? Anyone keen on that? Right? So if you're new today, I'm not going to ask you to do that. But this story that we're looking at here with John the Baptist is actually this whole idea is this crazy guy in the wilderness. He wears camel hair clothing, a leather belt. He eats locusts and wild honey. And this is his message. Repent and confess your sins. And all the province of Judea, the city of Jerusalem, all of them come out into the wilderness to hear this message. Now, coming out into the wilderness is not a small thing. It means going out, maybe a day or two's journey. You've got to prepare food. Imagine if I just said, we're going to go camping right now. And if you got kids, that's a big ordeal. Right? Even with a house and a home and a fridge, I find it hard to keep them fed. Let alone going out into the wilderness. So this is not normal. What we're reading about here is not normal. Hundreds, thousands of people leaving their jobs, their work, their rhythms, their responsibilities, coming out into the wilderness to hear a message of repent and confess your sins. How do you think that would have a great appeal in our culture today? What if we sent an email out and you could forward it to all your friends and family and say, repent and confess your sins and come to church? Do you think we'd pack the place out? So what is it about what's going on in this time and in this place that's creating all of these people to go, I want to hear this, I want to be a part of this, and I want to do it. I actually want to repent, and I want to confess, and I want to do it publicly, and I'm going to leave my normal everyday stuff in order to come and do it. What's going on that this would have such a massive appeal to the world around them? What we looked at last week is this idea that probably what's going on inside of people is there's this growing, stirring feeling of, I can't do this anymore. Everyday responsibilities, getting up, going to work, the thought process that's going on is, I can't do this anymore, and this isn't working for me. That's what people are feeling to the point where they want to go, they become willing to say, I want to stop the way I'm living. I want to stop trying to take care of myself. I want to stop trying to be enough for myself. I want to stop looking at me as the solution to every problem. Does this sound familiar to anyone? I want to stop bearing the weight of the world to be everything for all things for all time. I want to stop that. Because when we talk about John the Baptist inviting everyone to repent, it's to turn away from a life that says, I don't think God is here. I don't think God cares about what's going on. I don't think God is helping me. And I don't think God offers me any solutions. Now, when you live that way, which is common, right? Is that fair? When you live that way, that means I have to be enough. I have to be the solution. I have to be the provision. And I have to be strong enough for all of this. Does that sound like fun? That sounds like a lot of pressure, doesn't it? So all these people are going, my way of living, I can't keep doing it. So there's a motivation in people to go, I don't want to keep living this way. And here is this prophet figure in the wilderness calling out, saying, another way is here. Another way has come, and it's a way that is available to all of those who are worn out, hurting, tired of fighting to survive, tired of the messes their own ways are creating, and are ready to receive a new way. A way that comes from heaven, from God himself. God is finally answering every need and desire. God is finally providing solution to all of our problems. And what people don't realize at this point is that God's answer in his way is to give himself. Jesus, God in flesh, is already there. They just don't know it. So when John says, the kingdom of God is at hand, it's because the king is there. The king's living in Nazareth. Nobody knows, nobody realizes, but the king is present. And this king has entered into human life in such an immersive way. What we looked at through the first couple chapters of Matthew is that Jesus actually takes on our humanity, lives our story, takes on family lines, takes on skeletons in the closet, takes on all the human mess and hardship and horror and pain, and he is there living it with all these people. So, God's there, God's present, God gets them, understands them, the way they wish to be understood. God is already amongst them because Jesus is present. And when Jesus is present, your other ways of doing things, the theological way of putting this, really suck. It sucks to do life without Jesus when Jesus is present. So part of it is, what's happening is because God is there, because the good news has arrived, because Jesus is there ready to save the world, all the false solutions, all the false strength, all the false promises are paling in comparison. And people are very unhappy with them. What else would motivate them to head into the desert to hear the prophet? Now, when you hear that, do you think, would that interest people in the world? Would that interest people in Canada? Because the people I meet, whether they're rich or whether they're poor, whether they are in loving relationships or not, everyone has this deep inner sense of like, I can't keep doing what I'm doing. I can't sustain my life. And it's happening because Jesus is coming near them. Jesus is in their life, drawing them to a better, to a new, to an eternal way. So not only do they leave and repent their normal life and head into the wilderness, but when they get there, two things happen. It says that John baptizes them and that they confess their sins. Okay, so they've come all that way from the cities, from the towns, into the wilderness, and they're so motivated to change the way they've been living that now they're confessing all the things that they've been putting their hope in that have been failing them. They confess where instead of going to God and trusting that he would provide for them, they've been trying to provide for themselves. They start to confess that out loud. These are supposed to be God's people. And they're saying, I haven't been living the right way. I haven't been doing this the right way. I've been doing this in my own strength. I've been making compromises. Because here's the thing. When we as humans decide to be self-sufficient, we will inevitably become desperate people. Because when you reach the limits of your self-sufficiency, have you ever felt that? When I reach the limits of my self-sufficiency, my temptation, because I've become desperate, is to compromise and do things I know are wrong. You ever felt that? You're like, I know this isn't the right thing to do. I know this is a shortcut. I know if everyone did this, we'd be in trouble. But I have to do this because this situation is just so uniquely difficult. Ever felt that? Self-sufficient people become desperate people. Desperate people compromise and do wrong things. Do things they know aren't good, know aren't helpful, but feel like they don't have a choice. Now, when we think about, when you look at the Bible and you think about the commandments of God, what do you think the first commandment is in the Bible? We tend to think, don't eat from the tree. Right? The Adam and Eve story, don't eat from the tree that's in the center. We tend to think that's the first commandment. But the first commandment that comes up in the book of Genesis is, eat from any tree in the garden. That's what God says. Eat from any tree in the garden because I've provided for you. I've provided everything you need for sustenance, for life, and for purpose. We're going to tend this garden and enjoy my goodness. The second commandment is, but don't eat from this tree. So much about understanding the nature of sin has more to do with the fact that we leave all of God's goodness. That's the first real sin, is to go, this isn't good enough, I'll provide for myself. So when we leave perfect provision, take responsibility to be enough for ourselves, it sounds good when you're a teenager. But as time goes on and as you accumulate responsibilities, you realize this is actually a lot of work. Right? You get in, you know, a marriage or a really close friendship, and you realize we're fighting here, and you go, we have to come up with a solution for this. That's a hard thing. You have kids, and you realize you're a bad kid, which I do sometimes with my kids. I look at them and I go, you're doing really bad things here. I have to fix you. I have to change you. I have to help you. And as they get older, it feels like more and more, you're like, how do I do this? It kind of feels impossible. You take on big projects at work, and you're like, how do I do this? This is bigger. This is beyond me. This is more than I can handle. Big problems that you start to realize, it sounded like fun for me to be in charge of my own life, to find my own way, to make my own way. But now when all the responsibility's here, it's crushing me. When you realize I got a spouse, I got a house, I got a job, I got cars, I got things, but I'm not fulfilled inside. How do I fulfill myself? It's a lot of work taking care of yourself. But this is at the heart of sin, of going, we left his goodness to try and be good enough for ourselves, and then we're failing to be enough. I'm failing to fulfill. I'm failing to accomplish. I'm failing to solve. And so what was independence now becomes a desperation. When I start to feel that I'm insufficient for all of these responsibilities, that I'm failing the things I love most, because we don't get into jobs just for money. We love those things. When we have kids, we love those kids. We get in a relationship, we love that person. But then we start to fail it. And there's hurt and there's harm. And that spreads throughout our society. So all of us trying to take care of and fulfill ourselves, exploiting one another when we're desperate. And if we all do that, it creates this reality in our world where all of us are exploiting ourselves, exploiting each other, exploiting resources. And it's why we see so much harm in society and creation as we get more and more internally desperate, we get more and more externally exploitive. This is what people in this text of Scripture are experiencing. Is they're going, we can't keep living this way. We can't change Rome. We can't change this. We can't change ourselves. We can't help our situation. I'm done trying to be enough for this. I want God's way. I want a way that works. I want a way that has power to change, to help, to heal, restore, to strengthen. This is what would motivate a people to go, I don't want this way anymore. And to name it, to actually say it out loud. Now, the thing about confessing these things is these are things we've invested hope in. We've invested a lot of hope to go, this was going to fulfill me. And then even when we're angry at it and struggling with the fact that it's not fulfilling us, I don't want to say it out loud. I don't want to reject it. I don't want to lose it. Because what if it maybe works later? Some of the things I put my hope in, I know I can't keep living dependent on that. Can you think of a few things in your mind right now? Things I'm too dependent on that I'm looking for it to be enough for me. But even like in my relationship with my wife, I don't want to say those things out loud. Right? Like let's say she notices maybe I'm watching a bit too much TV. And then I might just kind of hint at it when she's like, what's going on with you? You kind of seem a little bit off, a little bit grumpy. And so at that point, I know, yeah, my heart's not in a great spot. And I've been watching a lot of TV to try and cover that up. So I might just use kind of nicer phrases to be like, yeah, I'm just, you know, having a bit of a hard time with some things. And she's like, yeah, but I've noticed it's kind of impacting your priorities and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I'm watching a little too much TV. Right? That's a kind of like mini confession. Yeah, we both know. Let's leave it at that. You ever had those? Because I don't want to say it right out loud because I'm not ready to lose it. You ever feel that? I want to say, well, I'm managing it. Yeah, I'll make some adjustments. I'll try and watch when you're not looking. You know, whatever. Right? We try and kind of hedge our bets a bit to go, I know there's something off in me and it needs to find solution in Jesus. It needs to find fulfillment in the true way. I can feel that. But I'm trying to manage it with things on earth. And I'm not ready yet to lose this. Why is that? You ever feel that? I know what I need, but I need to kind of hedge my bets here because I don't know what would happen if you took this out completely. The people in this story are confessing it and saying, I give up on this. I give up on this. I give up on this. I'm not covering this up anymore. I'm not hedging my bets. I want the whole thing. I want to be ready for the good way. I want to be ready for the life-changing way. I want to be ready for a way that works, and I'm not going to hedge my bets on all this other stuff. Now, we might be able to look at that and go, wow, those are really faith-filled people. I actually think they're faith-filled people because they're that desperate. Because they know these wells aren't good. These things I've been drinking of, they're making me sicker, not better. And I want the real thing. That's what's happening in Judea and Jerusalem to get ready for Jesus to go public as the way. Is deep, to be honest, inner turmoil within all these people of going, I can't keep living this way. I want the real thing. I want the real way of Jesus. And so that's the offer here. At no point do we in the church want to push people to do confession that they don't want to do. But the comfort that is offered by Jesus, the tenderness that is offered by Jesus, the peace that is offered by Jesus, and the pardon that is offered by Jesus compels people to call out their false ways and say, I don't want it anymore. It's not working. I'm not okay. It's not fulfilling me. I need the real thing. Now, if I was to ask you, who in your life is saying, I'm not okay? I can't keep doing this. This isn't working for me. Doesn't it make us realize there's actually a lot of people that are hungry for the way of Jesus? They just never heard that it exists. But for us as Christians, we want to live sensitive to the reality that we're always going to move to these other ways. And we want to be quick and honest and open about the fact that we don't want this anymore. We don't grow out of our repentance and our confession. That it would be a defining factor of this community. I had to repent to Ian this week. Him and I had booked a coffee for Thursday, and then all of a sudden, Friday morning, I was driving and I realized Ian and I didn't have coffee. Why didn't we have coffee? I just didn't show up. It totally slipped my mind, missed it on my calendar, and so I had to call Ian and say, and while I'm calling him, the phone's ringing, and I'm thinking, what do I tell him? What do I tell Ian? Now, we had some doctor's appointments because the kids are a mess. So do I tell him that? Because that was kind of what happened. Maybe that's why it slipped my mind. But as the phone's ringing, all I can think is, you just got to say you're wrong. You just got to say the truth. Brother, I'm sorry. I just forgot. I don't know what happened. You're worth more than that. That's the kind of life we want to live, is we don't want these fake facades of trying to keep it together, trying to make it look better than it is, trying to be strong or trendy or successful or whatever. That's not the goal. The goal is wholeness, fulfillment in the way of Jesus. Where He does the work. He does the saving and the solving. He does the healing and the restoring. And we get to be weak, broken people dependent upon a great and glorious Savior. So this place here should be the safest place on earth for tired, worn out, reach the end of themselves people who are fulfilled, confident, and hopeful about the future because we have a Jesus that's that good, a way that's that secure, that strong, that confident, and that powerful. Is that not good news? And this is all happening as preparation for the revealing of Jesus as the way. Isn't that exciting? Well, let's pray together as we prepare our hearts for the table. So Jesus, we hear and feel your stirring today. That if we have been feeling in our lives like I just can't do this anymore, this thing that I've been going to for fulfillment isn't working. I can't just cover this up. I can't try and just keep making it work. Can't just try harder. I'm worn out. I'm tired. And I'm in need of salvation. That means that you are close. that you are near to us. So we recognize that you are near to us right now, right here in this place, that you've been near to us all week, right in the midst of everything we've been going through. And you're leading us now to confess our ways that aren't working. To confess our independence. To confess our insufficiencies and inabilities. To confess our weakness. So let's just take a moment for private reflection to prepare our hearts for repentance and confession, that we would then receive Jesus at his table.